Holmes & Hops is proudly supported by Platt Insurance, your local independent insurance agency offering auto, home, life, business, and farm insurance. They also have a team of specialists that help you with insuring your brewery or winery. Platt Insurance, helping you protect your tomorrow. For more information or a quote, please call them at 330-856-6244 or visit them on the web at plattinsurance.com. Hello, everyone. This is Lisa Resnick. We are at the Holmes & Hops podcast studio with promised guest Art Daly of Eastern Gateway Community College. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Lisa. Thank you so much for spending some time with me today. I really appreciate it.
No, I really appreciate it. This is awesome. And it's always great talking to you, no matter what, whether we're at Mocha House or walking around the streets of Youngstown.
Absolutely.
And we are sipping on some Penguin City in salute to them and their shout out yesterday.
Wonderful, wonderful product that they sell, and looking forward to the expansion in downtown Youngstown.
How exciting is that?
It is. It's amazing. All the things that are going on around the valley, downtown, you know, in our whole region. It's just a lot of fun to be a part of.
It is. And you do have that whole trifecta market over there. So you have Eastern Gateway Community College. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have the whole Penguin City, Youngstown Flea Corridor, which they need to identify themselves.
We need some branding out there for them.
100%. Right? I know they're working on it. And then you also have like Noble Creature.
Yes.
That is right up there by Chauffin. Is it Chauffin or Chauffin?
So it's one of those tomato-tomato issues where you say, depends on, you know.
John calls it Chauffin.
And I call it Chauffin.
So do I.
Therein lies where, you know, whatever your flavor is.
I think it was when he said Chauffin the one time, I was like, crap, I've been saying it wrong all this time.
Yeah, so it is. It is tomato, tomato, whichever you prefer. It's wrong in either direction. So.
Oh, well, that's good.
And think about this. We also have, I mean, when the Covelli events start to come back and the concerts come back to the amphitheater, I mean, this downtown is going to be, it's already progressed to a point that it's just part of the culture of our entertainment culture.
That's right.
And man, it's just going to keep getting better and better as we improve the streets and the sidewalks and the lighting. And
that's right.
We just talked about that a few seconds ago.
That's
so
right.
I mean, it's just going to be a beautiful place to be a part of.
And Eastgate, which is also located downtown.
Yeah, they right across the street from
that's
us.
That's right. Yeah. They do a ton of work. By the way, how many times do people get Eastgate, Eastern Gateway?
All the time.
Okay.
How often do I get their mail? All the time.
Oh, no way.
And I'm sure they get some of ours at some point in time.
There you go. You're like, you could take our bills.
Yeah, take our bills, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, pay our water bill and our gas.
That's right.
We'll be very happy for that.
Maybe pay for some of the renovation work happening
absolutely,
as well.
Absolutely.
And which they do. They do contribute a lot to our area and bring in a ton of funding
to
be able to do a ton of things. I mean, the whole motorless or driverless, not motorless.
The autonomous vehicles.
That's right.
So the nice thing about it is, you know, Eastgate and Eastern Gateway have a beautiful partnership. So we're looking at part of that second part of the build grant that is going to kind of retool our sidewalks and our streets on Boardman, Champion, Walnut. We're looking at a walking path that'll take us all the way up to Chauffin or Chauffin, whichever you prefer.
Which is perfect, which is also right up the way to Noble Creature and Zuzo's Barbecue now.
And the nice thing about
down to MBR.
Absolutely, down to MBR. You're right. So having that walkability downtown is critical to the success, especially of the east side. On the west side, it's okay, right? You've got a lot of paths to get up to YSU and walk
around.
You do. But at the east side, you don't. So that's part of, you know, some of the things that you and I have talked about before about some of that property that sits along those areas.
I know.
And what are we going to do? How do we make those bike paths or walking trails and well lit and you know, with beautiful landscaping.
That's right.
That's all coming together. It's just taking a little bit more time. It's challenging.
It is. And just in case people are wondering, in which we did, we dove into that in 2019.
I can't believe
it was that long ago, but we dove into that area, that walking path from Eastern Gateway all the way up to Chauffin. And that Walnut Street, that hill that goes up there, I know Cityscape did a lot of work.
Oh, they do. Sharon does a great job.
She does. But there's this area of land that is not owned by anyone locally.
Right.
For those that don't know, when railroads were closing down in the past, a lot of private investors would purchase this land around the tracks in hopes that it would one day be utility access. So then they would be able to rent it out and make quite
quite a lot of money.
Quite a bit of a profit, right?
I mean, the idea behind it is great.
It is.
But that way is never going to be a utility path at all. So it's just trying to get in contact with this gentleman and see what he's willing to do with that parcel of land, because it's so small, but yet it has such an impact to that area.
Oh, it does. And, you know, the, another thing about that is that whole, like hill kind of area that takes you up, past up Chauffin. So I really think once we, if we can get the resources to re-landscape, put some lighting in there, having the walking path go up that trail, going across, to YSU. I mean, we have what we call the triangle in education. We have YSU, Eastern Gateway, and Chauffin, right? So when you look at that, that is our own educational triangle right in the heart of a downtown city. You don't see that too many times in many of your downtown locations. And that's what I think one of the benefits of our valley is we have that. We have a wonderful university at Youngstown State.
We do.
We have a very prominent and growing community college. And then we have a wonderful technical center that teaches some of our K-12 and adult ed programs in that location. So you don't see that often. And now we're harnessing the energies of all of that as we see like the Excellence Training Center coming.
Yes.
And the old Mahoning County Jail. We're partnered with YSU and our technical centers locally. YBI, American Makes, all of the things that we need. We have it all in downtown Youngstown. And I think a lot of folks probably don't think about it all that often. But man, with these types of messages and these types of events that you're doing are really going to draw notice to the downtown market.
I think that we have the advantage because we're always downtown.
Yes.
So we get to see what's happening a lot more and this happened when I lived in DC too. Mm-hmm. Suburbanites are suburbanites.
Absolutely.
And very rarely do they venture into the city, which killed me. I mean, you have DC. Mm-hmm. And people out in suburbia were reluctant to go to D.C. because they didn't want to deal with the hassle,
traffic,
everything. Mm-hmm. Even if they were like, oh, there are some bad areas or whatever it may be, it's that same mindset and mentality. Because let's face it, D.C. also, I mean, if you want to talk about an area that was bad crime-wise,
sure,
we are nothing in comparison to what D.C. used to be in the 80s.
No, and I'll challenge anybody that comes downtown that says, hey, you know, crime is at an all-time high in the downtown district. It's not.
I mean,
our police department is sitting right in the heart of all of this. You know, those are wonderful individuals that protect us downtown and in our city.
That's right.
When you think about it, anytime I've been downtown and events have been going on, you don't feel at all like, oh, if I go down this side street, something's going to happen. Or you don't feel that. You don't get that vibe in downtown Youngstown.
Nope.
You just don't. And we have a lot of business owners that are vested into this downtown city. And our mayor is doing an excellent job. Our city council members are doing an excellent job at keeping everything going and moving forward. So ultimately, you know, it's nothing but a boon for our region.
Exactly. I completely agree. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why people are choosing this location to invest in, because there are a lot of out-of-state investors that are reading the news.
Absolutely.
That are seeing everything that's happening here, and they're trying to take hold of the multifamily unit properties and everything else to start investing in, because they're starting to see a progression of job growth.
Yes, they are.
So they want to make sure that they get into that market before it goes.
And that's the thing that we're seeing, obviously, when we take to Voltage Valley and we talk about the Lordstown area, which is not far from downtown.
No.
It's a 10-minute drive by the interstate. So these are things that are being noticed outside of the area. And if we can harness that, get everybody together, and kind of like we're doing now, you know, this is all part of the conversation. And you talk about Eastgate, and you talk about us, and you talk about all of our other community partners that are involved in all this. It's nothing but positive that's coming out. And, you know, I never want to go back to the 70s and say, well, you know, we were Rust Belt and all this other stuff. That I hate that, right?
It's true.
We need to be talking about innovation and creativity. And let's talk about the arts, all the things that are involved with, you know, we have Smarts by Us, we have Soap Gallery, we have, I mean, these areas are very much part of our downtown culture. We have great small businesses downtown.
We do.
You know, my significant other, she owns her salon downtown. She's in the Ohio Commerce Building. And let me tell you something. She has been down here for a very long time. She's seen the renaissance that go on. But we have these small community businesses that also participate in the downtown experience. So it's been wonderful.
I think it's absolutely awesome. And from someone who was away for 12 years mm-hmm. and then came back, I mean, I went to YSU when we had Amy's Campus 2000, and that was, and the Burger King. The Burger King was there.
Absolutely.
And that was about it.
Yeah. So,
like, I think of these kids, and I do. I sound like an old person being like, well, when I went to school, we didn't have all those things.
Right.
We had no reason to walk down the hill or up the hill.
None whatsoever. Yeah. Pal Joey's.
And, like, oh, you
know,
yes. Again,
I know I'm probably a lot older than you, but we had the Pal Joey's. Oh, yeah, Pal Joey's. The new music station. I don't know if that was ever on your radar, but, you know, we didn't have a lot. My God, you go up there now. You come downtown. I mean, again, let me talk about the Mocha House that's sitting right on campus. That, my God, you never had that type of business in downtown. You know, we have a Chipotle. We mm-hmm. have, you know, we have all those restaurants and things, V2 and the Federal. I mean, those things never existed back. I'll even date myself even further. When I was going to YSU, I was a security guard at Strauss's. Yes, that's right, folks. Strauss's.
Wow. Now you did really date yourself.
So those that hear me, that Strauss's was downtown. I was a security guard. That was my first job.
Was this when it had the bridge?
It had the bridge. Yes. See? So you remember. Or maybe you saw it in pictures.
I was a little girl.
You're a little girl, right? So I just think it's amazing where it's come. It's transformed itself. We've got federal buildings downtown.
Yes.
We've got amazing people that work downtown, our banking system. So honestly, it's a place that I think people should come and spend more time once we're out of the COVID pandemic and just enjoy the fruits of everyone's labor who've built this up.
I do think once we start to have warmer weather, I think people are going to pop back up and start walking around and start experiencing these things that we have missed tremendously. And I really do feel like downtown has been making the turn and progressing forward, and it's phenomenal. And it is a lot of entrepreneurs.
It is.
It's a lot of faith and love mm-hmm. that has got it to this point.
Oh, no doubt about it. And vision. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had a lot of let's go back to our local administrations and our city administrations. They are the one that were on the cutting edge of all of this. You know, we have a hotel downtown.
I know.
I mean, my God, we couldn't even have contemplated that 20, 25 years ago, 30 years ago.
It's such a beautiful building.
Oh, it's gorgeous, right? There's other people outside of that. Our Western Reserve Port Authority.
Yes.
Think of the investment that they're making. You know, a friend of mine is Anthony Trevina and John Moliterno and their team. They're taking buildings, they're refurbishing buildings, they're tearing down buildings and putting up some new business opportunity, some economic development opportunity. That pays dividends. That's a very strong entity in our valley that, you know, we don't hear a lot of. It's one of those things you don't hear a lot about, but boy, do they impact the valley tremendously.
And I love the fact that they've been working with Nicretion.
Yes.
With mm-hmm. the Economic Action.
Yes.
So Economic Action Group, EAG, but which Nick and Daniel Bancroft, that mm-hmm. also works with, they are phenomenal, innovative.
They are.
And I mean, they're hard workers.
Yes. But you don't hear much, like, they're not out touting all these things.
No.
They just get it done. That's
it. Right.
That's a get it done mentality. That this is what we're going to do. We're going to sit down. We're going to talk to local partners. We're going to make these things happen.
That's right.
And that's, we're seeing the results of all that hard work.
And us in the real estate industry, we do need to be able to work with those other government agencies mm-hmm. and those other nonprofit agencies, everything. We all need to work together because at the end of the day, we all have the same goal.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely. And I tell you what, I think collaboration in our world has just intensified over time. Like, you know, before I came here, I wasn't at Eastern Gateway. I've only been here for 4.5 years.
Now that we're starting this,
okay.
As promised, we got to hear Art's life story.
Oh, yes, yes.
So are you originally from this area?
I am. I grew up in Brookfield, Ohio.
Oh.
I was a Warrior back in the days.
Brookfield's tiny, right?
Brookfield's very tiny. Yeah.
But it has the golf course.
So it has the golf course, Yankee Run Golf Course.
That's right.
Yeah.
I've been on that golf course.
And
it's a nice golf course.
It, it, It was a very nice golf course and still is. But, you know, at that time, we, again, stating my age, we had a retail store in Brookfield called Valley View. And I know a lot of people may or may not remember. If you're under 50, 45, you may not even know what the heck Valley View was. But the Valley View was the Walmart of my time.
Oh, wow.
Valley View was, their tag was miles of aisles. And they had everything from shoes to food to clothing to hardware. And had that family had the vision that the Walton family did and Sam Walton did, we'd be talking about Valley View as the Walmart of today.
Oh, wow.
Because they were that progressive. It was in a town. Everybody knew where it was. Everybody knew where to go, from Hermitage to Sharon to Youngstown to Vienna to wherever. Those people came to Valley View.
Oh, wow.
And it was amazing. So, but again, had a wonderful upbringing in Brookfield. Wonderful parents that taught me the importance of hard work and focusing on your goals and all of that. And they were both independent business owners. My dad was a contractor. My mother sold real estate for 20, 30 years.
So we can touch on that too.
So
right?
Yeah, absolutely. What a different world it is today compared to where she was.
Yes.
You know, all those, I mean, you're sitting in the office and making your cold calls and doing the open houses and
that's
all,
right.
You know, everything was old school back then.
And all the properties and everything was available was in a book.
It was in a book.
And from my understanding, mm-hmm. it was like the real estate agents would wait mm-hmm. for the truck to come around.
Absolutely.
And the books to be able to be passed out for them
I think they're called LMS. Were they LMS books? Is that what they were called?
I have no idea.
I think they were, if I remember correctly, but yeah.
The Rolodex, the real estate books, mm-hmm. that was their Bible.
That was their Bible. And it, there was no internet in that moment in
nope.
time. I mean, growing up, there was personal phone calls and relationships and you needed to meet. And you showed people the houses. There was no virtual tours, just a completely different way of doing things. But I got to tell you, one thing that I did learn from my mother is her tenacity. You know, she did not, you just weren't an agent that had 20 people you were trying to sell a house to. If you were her, if you signed her up as your agent, she made sure she found the house for you. And now there's agents all over the place. I mean,
yes.
It's a very challenging environment. I'm sure you...
It is. It's not... And it's... You have the competition with mm-hmm. the other agents as well. And which you do, you try to keep it a friendly pool of competition.
Sure.
Because at the
mm-hmm.
end of the day, we all still need each other.
Oh, yeah.
So,
right.
So honestly, I always find it funny when we go through what our consumer guide is, which basically this is when we disclose to our potential customers, clients, mm-hmm. everything that our brokerage does. And you get to the section that says you work with other agencies. It's like, of course you do. Like,
right.
I have best friends in other agencies.
Absolutely.
Because that's the reality of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because we all just may hang our license with the brokerage.
Mm-hmm.
And we usually choose the one that works the best for us. I
sure.
know I did.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still friends with other people.
Absolutely.
And, because you work together a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You all work together. And our point is to negotiate a deal that works out for everyone.
Absolutely. And that collaboration is so important.
Yes.
In any industry, but real estate specifically. I mean, because anybody can just...
Zillow's our main competitor.
Right? That's exactly
that's
right.
Our
right?
main. And you see everything that's happening right now because Zillow has like pretty much bought out everything. I'm just waiting for Amazon to buy out
right.
Zillow and
right.
then we're going to see everybody's houses on Amazon to
absolutely.
Purchase. If you could do it Prime, I don't know. But it's interesting because I do think that what you're talking about with your mom and mm-hmm. how she was is mm-hmm. what we all need to get back to.
Oh, yeah.
And developing those personal relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And it not just be transactional anymore.
And that's where we're at, right?
Yeah.
And that's and I'm not saying everybody does that.
No.
But of the people that I've seen throughout my time, they're really on the transaction itself,
yes.
and not the personal relationships and the things that they're built up for long term. Because just because you sell somebody a house now, if you didn't do it right and they didn't like the way you handled them,
mm-hmm.
the next time they go to sell that house. Or go buy another house.
It's not going to be you.
It's not going to be you. It's going to be somebody else.
And even if they liked you, if
absolutely.
You never touch base with them afterwards, and,
mm-hmm.
and we all know life is busy and,
mm-hmm.
and tough and it's hard to do it, but these people are important to you.
They are.
And it's always good for us to touch base back
mm-hmm.
with them because they'll forget about us.
They will forget. and everybody's got short memories.
Yes.
You know, they don't remember, hey, that person went out of the, but if you went out of your way for everything.
I think that's survival for us to have the short-term memory.
Well, it is, right? Because sometimes things don't work out. You got to forget it, put it past you, and move forward.
I watched this one movie. It's one of my favorite movies. It's Where in the World is Bernadette? But the beginning of it, they talk about how we have a discounting mechanism in our brain. Mm-hmm. And it's basically like when you're given your first gift, you're super excited about it. Mm-hmm. But after time, it loses that luster that it originally had. Mm-hmm. And that is, I guess, a discounting mechanism that we have to protect ourselves.
Right.
And it's something that has been inherited that we had to utilize from the dawn of our creation.
Right. But you're right. That is a survival mechanism.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it. So, but growing up again, my dad was a very hard worker. I always remember this. My dad said, as he was building houses and he had me up at 5 o'clock in the morning, shoveling slag and doing things. He worked in a mill initially. He came from out of the Navy, went to the mill, worked in a mill, and he did like houses on the side. So that was kind of his shtick when he was like 20, 21, 22. And I think somewhere in that time frame, he decided that the market was time. It was ready for him to get out of the mill and go do houses full time. So I always remember this. His supervisor, when my dad said he was going to be leaving and going to kind of, my dad says, you'll be back. The supervisor said, you'll be back in a couple weeks. That drove my dad to the point that he knew he was never coming back.
Yep.
And let me tell you something, that man worked tirelessly. Not only did he build houses during the day, as you know, he got into the rental apartment business. We were still small, like we were not large. Everything was, you know, we had like, I think at the height, we had like 30 units.
That's impressive. Lot of work.
And for a guy that just came out, again, he was a graduate from Brookfield, went to the Navy, came home, went to work for the mill. I mean, it didn't go to the college route, didn't do any of that stuff, and just built himself a very nice nest egg for him and my mother. We still have some units left, but that drove him like that. You'll be back in a couple weeks. Never left his mindset.
And
for him
to
tell me that when I was 13 and 14 years old, and I watched that man get up at 5 and I would get up with him. And then when we got home, there was still work to be done at 6 and 7 o'clock. It wasn't over for the day. So my dad knew he was never going to go back there no matter what he did. And that was part of what I learned.
I wonder if he ever saw that supervisor again.
I don't think he did.
And said, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for your words.
Yeah. I don't know if he ever did. He never told me that. But yeah, he was just a hard worker. So, and then as I moved through, I went to YSU, graduated from YSU.
Did you graduate with?
So I had my finance degree.
Okay.
Strong, like I had like three majors, but they wouldn't recognize them at that time.
Oh, wow.
I had finance, economics, and accounting. I threw it all under the big umbrella, right?
Well, Art, this is something totally, after we get off this call, we're going to talk about the unemployment rate, GDP, and where we need to focus.
Well, I can tell you where we need to focus as well. But it was just at the time jobs were scarce. It was challenging. We were, I think it was 89 or 90 when I graduated. The market was turning. There really wasn't a lot as you see, the area was kind of slowing down.
Yes.
Business was moving out. I was, you know, my intention was to never stay here, but, you know, had a family and then stayed. And then went into the restaurant industry, you know, was there for about 12, 15 years. Opened up, I worked at Quaker Steak and Lube and opened up the Olive Gardens. And most recently or most locally here was Niles was my one that we opened up. But then got burnt out. Never saw my daughter's first 5 years. I was never around for the Sunday birthday parties and I had to work. And it just became.
It's difficult in that industry.
Right? It is.
Very.
But I will tell everyone in the restaurant industry, it doesn't have to be that way for those people that are out there. There's ways to manage people and not kill them. But then, you know, I transitioned out. I got into the recruiting area. I was in a staffing company for a while. And this is no insult to all of those that are in the staffing business, but that's a grind. That's a grind. I would never want to go back. That's a world I can tell you I'll never go back.
That's commission based too, isn't it?
No, ours, we were salary based.
Okay.
But it's staffing is hard because
I thought like if you place someone and they stay for a period of time. Well,
that's a headhunter. That's like a headhunter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mine is staffing, you know, trying to find person to go work at some manufacturing company or something like that. That's challenging. Although very profitable as a business model, but very challenging to do because finding the right person, you've got to track that right person down, and that doesn't happen all that often. So, but I spent about 8 years doing that, and then got into education with ITT Technical Institute. Don't hold that against me, anybody that doesn't like proprietary education, but it was a great learning experience. It got me to, and I ended up being the director of career services there. That closed in 2016. Managed to make my way to Eastern Gateway Community College.
Is it DeVry?
So no, DeVry was another institute. There are other proprietary institutes.
They were similar though, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, okay. Yeah, for those proprietary industry companies were all the same across the board.
DeVry was who we leased out to in Crystal City Virginia. Mm-hmm. That was our big ticket to be able to anchor store, if you will, to be able to draw in other tenants.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the one thing I will tell you with the ITT techs, we had... When I was there, I think we had over 75,000 students nationwide. I think we had 120 some institutions throughout the country. We opened one up. There was one in a mall down in Pittsburgh, outside of Pittsburgh. We were in a mall. And if you want to see a fun place to be, go have your high school or your college, your educational institution inside of a mall. Because during your breaks, you go out into the mall and go do stuff, and then you come back in and take your classes. It was really a unique experience. And I got to tell you, it was a wonderful – the people I work with were absolutely amazing. You had to take the proprietary mentality out of it, but those people were dedicated to teach students in their programs. So although the business model was not conducive to – I guess students and students borrowers, because that's where ultimately the demise came with how much money you had to get loaned to stay in proprietary. But the people that worked there were amazing. And they were some of the smartest and brightest individuals that I work with. And now I think most of them are working in some other educational institution,
which is
a great thing, right?
Yes.
And then ultimately ended up at Eastern Gateway Community College as the career director there. Was very lucky to have an opportunity to come back because at that time I was doing Steubenville and Youngstown and the whole market. And then had an opportunity to come back to Youngstown as the dean, took that opportunity, and then just progressed through, became vice president and then senior vice president.
You ever feel like you have this full circle moment that you ended right back up in Youngstown?
Yeah. It's amazing, right? Because it's so funny. And obviously, it never was planned that way. You know, funny you mentioned that because my cousin, I was just on the phone when you had come out. I was with the call with my cousin, and he lives in Atlanta. And when he graduated, from high school, he moved right out. Like, he went to Miami University and then got into sales with the Deluxe Check Printers, and then he never came back, right?
Okay.
Well, my goal when I got to the Olive Garden was to never be here. My plan was to work at the corporate office, which is now Darden Restaurants in Orlando, Florida.
That was always the goal.
It didn't materialize, but the nice thing is I'm kind of a little bit – yeah, you look back and you go, boy, I wish I would have done that. But having what I had and having the daughter that I have is incredible, right? So no regrets in that regard. But yeah, staying back in the area, I've worked in PA, I've worked in, you know, Ohio, I've worked up in Cleveland, I've worked down in Columbus, those areas with the Olive Garden primarily. It's full circle. It is in Youngstown. I never meant to be here, but I'm still here. So.
Isn't it interesting when you think about it, when we are at the age and we've been through everything that we have in life, when you go into, like, say, a job interview now, or you think about your previous job interviews and you get asked the question, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Mm-hmm. You should be like, I have no idea.
Right.
You don't know where you're going to be in 5 years.
Nobody, those are the worst questions to ask anybody because some people have a plan. But again, you have to think that...
I get concerned about the people that have a plan because then I wonder, what if their plan is derailed?
Yeah. What's your contingency plan?
Yeah. How are they going to react?
Absolutely. And that's something that, you know, a lot of people don't consider. Well, my focus is only on this. Well, and if you don't focus on this, you're not going to make it happen because you're going to get sidetracked or something's going to happen.
Yep.
You just have to balance out everything. You know, one thing I've learned about life and most recently in the past 8 years or so is about balance. I don't really have a lot of balance sometimes. Like I said, my significant other, her name is Lisa as well.
It's a wonderful name.
It is an absolutely wonderful name. She always drives home that I've got to have balance. And sometimes I get askew and she brings me back where I need to be. So,
you see, that's good. It's always good to have that checkpoint.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I read this book. It's definitely a nice girl power book. It's called Girls Stop Apologizing. It talks about the balance.
Yeah.
And she said she always tried to find that balance, but she realized that some days it's going to be 90% work.
Yes.
And some days it's going to be 90% family. It's just making sure that at the end of the day, they all equal out.
When you tally it all up, is it all equal?
Exactly. Because you don't want to end up feeling like you're way more in one direction versus the other.
Right.
Because we do. We still all have aspirations and we still all have goals. And and part of, to me, our influence on our children is them seeing us outside of the home and what we're trying to work on and what we're trying to do.
Absolutely.
Because I want my kids to know that we're hard workers. And that You got to go out there and instill that, right?
Yeah. You have to instill that part of it. And then, again, I'll go back to my mom and dad. They instilled that part of me, right? So you knew that that was the only way for success to truly come. And there was always a friend of my dad's. He'd always say, the harder Art Daly works, the luckier he gets. And that's true, right? It just because you work hard doesn't always necessarily mean things are going to come your way. But boy, no. You will get lucky if you're out there really with that nose to the grindstone and really moving forward. And that's, you know, I go back to my dad because, you know, he's passed for 5 years now. But some of the things I watched him do, and I'll give you a cute little story. So we had a log fire in our house, and my dad and I were out splitting logs one day. And he foolishly gave me the sledgehammer, and he held the wedge to splice the logs. Well, I hit his thumb.
Yep.
I mean, I never saw things come out of a thumb more than I did at that moment in time. They were purple. They were gray. They were yellow. They were everything, right?
Yeah, that's not okay.
And let me tell you something. My dad could take it. He first, a few expletives, but after that, he went in the house, he bandaged his thumb back up, and we were right back outside going and finishing the log work. And those are some of the things I got to tell you. Those are the things that resonate. And I appreciate this call because you're giving me some memories in my mind as well. You have to persevere. It doesn't matter. You're going to hit obstacles. Something's going to happen. You stop and you're going to want to stop and you just don't. And those are some of the things I will tell you that I got from my parents as well. They just never stopped. When they retired down in Florida, they never stopped. My mom took a job at a Publix. She was 74 years old.
Oh, wow.
She was working at Publix. My dad was, you know, if you needed a window put into your condo or you needed a, you know, a bathroom or some tile laid, my dad kept working. They just kept doing it till probably, you know, probably mid to late 70s. And then they really slowed down after that. But
what did they say? You got to keep working.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you do. And on a side note, I have an uncle that is retired in that same area. He's in a golf course community, and he was a bricklayer his whole life.
Oh, wow.
He's 88 years old. Every morning, he gets up with the maintenance crew. He volunteers his time, and he helps continue to lay bricks. Oh, it's amazing.
That is amazing.
And we'll be going to see him. My mom and I are going to go back down to Florida in the first week of April. And he gets up and we visit them. He gets up. You can't go over there until afternoon because he works 4 or 5 hours in the morning. Now, mind you, he's not heavy, but he's dropping the cement on the bricks. So the young, he's being a mentor to the young people that never have done that before. And he's 88 years old. So there's value in everything you do.
What's amazing is he's being an educator right now.
He is. He's giving back. I mean, and unfortunately, it's kind of forced upon him because, you know, he's got these damn kids don't know anything, right? And he's teaching them. But he's teaching them, and they're going to learn a skill as they move forward. So
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it really is.
So everything that you've just stated makes you the phenomenal person you are and the right person for Eastern Gateway Community College,
you.
Right?
I appreciate that. Yeah, I do, Lisa. It's set the stage up for me to be able to do exactly what I've wanted to do there. And let me tell you something. Let me talk about the Eastern Gateway team, our family. Those people, they work diligently every single day for student success. You know, we have support mechanisms in place and we have a staff, our directors, our staff, our faculty. They all they care about is making sure that the student is taken care of, making sure that they have the support that they need, because we know there's so many insecurities that folks have, food insecurities, transportation insecurities. I mean, everything that you could throw at our students, they get handed to on a daily basis, and they work so hard for our students. And I tell everybody I'm honored to be working with them. I'm proud to be a part of Eastern Gateway and a community college. And I love to watch how they impact students. As a senior vice president, you're not on the day-to-day, you know, but I watch our staff. Really, if a student has an issue, we find the solution. It may not be the first thing you come to, but it might be two or three solutions down the road that works for a student. And I can't tell you, it's an honor to work with those people every day.
Well, I know that we are very lucky and appreciative of the fact that we do have Eastern Gateway Community College. Yeah. And I do love the fact that it's right downtown, not only because it brings even more life to our downtown area. Having these kids walking around is just phenomenal. I cannot wait to see all the changes that happen with the campus. Yep,
they're coming.
I'm very excited about that. Now, before we go, I do a rapid fire round.
Okay.
So are you ready?
I think so. I hope so.
Okay. All right. So what is your favorite local brewery?
Wow. Penguin City Brewery.
There you go. All right. Number two, what is your favorite local restaurant?
Mocha House.
There you go. And it's the cheesecake, right?
As you see on my body, it's the cheesecake.
No, like I'm telling you, here's a little confession. At one point in time in my stint at YSU, I did work at the Mocha House, the one in Boardman.
Oh, okay. Great.
And it was the California cheesecake.
That's the biggest seller. Number one seller.
And rightfully so. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the cheesecakes are absolutely delicious. Sure. But that California, I don't know if it's because in your mindset, you think it's a little bit healthy for you because
you
of
the fruit on top. Right.
But it is really good.
Well, let me tell you this. They have, and I'm going to shamelessly plug the baklava cheesecake.
Oh,
if
I don't think
anybody gets
one.
A chance. So my sister at the holidays for the last 2 years since I brought it there, she requests it.
Oh, there you go.
She says you need to bring a whole baklava cheesecake back, and my nephews and my daughter and all my family, they love the baklava cheesecake.
Well, I like baklava, so I probably like the cheesecake too.
It's crazy good.
All right, now I know what my next dessert's going to be. Okay, and the last one, what's your favorite local gem of the area?
Gem of the area. Wow. That's a tough one because I haven't been getting out much lately. So it's hard to, I gotta say, probably the MVR. I mean, I know it's another restaurant.
That's okay.
But it is a gem. I mean, it's
Bocce.
It's the outdoor. So let me side note that.
Okay.
As saying, okay, so the MVR is one. But I got a shout out for our YMCA downtown. That is a gem downtown. And if nobody, and I got to say, Tom Gacy and his team,
they really nice on the inside.
Gorgeous. Yeah. They have invested so much for that exercise facility, that health facility that they have. And that, so we do the Community Cup with them as Eastern Gateway. And the Community Cup didn't happen last year, but we do the Community Cup every year. So I'm going to back that up and say the YMCA is our gem. And the MVR is part of that because the Community Cup, we do a bocce segment of Community Cup. So it's a two-parter on that.
There you go. Well, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I really appreciate the time today.
Bye.
Bye-bye.